In ancient Israel, as the people would gather to worship their God, the priests would stand each day and offer sacrifices. And for us, we often think of the big ones, you know, the Day of Atonement or the Passover, and certainly those were significant markers each year in the life of Israel. But we need to remember that they offered sacrifices pretty much all day, every day. It was a constant process as people would bring their offerings to the tabernacle and then later to the temple to practice their worship of God. But each day, the priest would pause in the morning and in the afternoon to pronounce a blessing on the people. And this is a special event because this is the blessing that God had commanded Moses to tell Aaron, to command to all of the priests, that they would give this word from God to the people. So this isn't something where, you know, a priest said, oh, I'll make up something that sounds nice that hopefully will encourage the people today. This was God speaking directly to them. And you don't need to turn there, but you could find the words for it in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And it goes like this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And this came to be known as the threefold blessing, and it was a significant marker in the life of those who would worship God. Our psalm today, Psalm 67, I believe picks up on this blessing, the barakah, if you were to try to say the word in Hebrew. Picks up on this blessing. As we often do with our music today, we'll take a passage of scripture and we'll kind of elaborate on it and expound on it in our songs, a very fitting thing to do from Ephesians and Colossians, which says we're supposed to teach and speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So this psalm, I believe, is kind of a teaching psalm as well as a psalm of praise to help the people understand a little better about the blessing of God in their lives. So if you would turn to Psalm 67 with me, this is one of those psalms that it has an inscription at the beginning, but the inscription does not tell us who wrote it and doesn't give any special occasion for it. It just says that it's to the choir master with stringed instruments, a praise, a song. So that's what we know. There's supposed to be stringed instruments, and the choir is supposed to sing it. And the temple kept a standing choir. They had Levites who were trained to sing in a choir, and they did so regularly. So please listen then as I read Psalm 67 for us. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. So what we see here then, as the psalmist writes for us, is kind of a restatement of the threefold blessing, kind of a condensed form of it. And then we're going to see he's going to help us understand, hopefully a little better, the blessing of God in our lives. So it starts off with a prayer for blessing that the psalmist leads the people in calling out to God for blessing. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. We'll see a couple different aspects of God's blessing in our lives. First of all, the request is to be gracious. He's calling upon God's grace. And if we pause to reflect on that for a moment, What we'll understand is that to be blessed by God is an act of God's grace to us. The fact that God would do anything for us really ought to blow our minds, because he owes us nothing. Absolutely nothing. We come before him, and all we have to offer him is not even just that we have nothing to offer. Everything that we could offer to him is something that he would despise, that he would hate. It's just our sin. It's our sinfulness. It's our willfulness and our wayfulness and the way that we want to do things on our own. That's really all we come to him with. And that God would be so gracious to us to say, I will bless you in spite of who and what you are and what you can bring to me. That ought to make us step back and reflect. It's appropriate for us to continually appeal to God's grace, because that is the only hope that we have. We've got nothing else for this. In fact, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, as Jeremiah records for us what is most likely his lament over the destruction of Jerusalem, his beloved city. Right there, kind of the center of that whole lament, it says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So Jeremiah there and the psalmist here, they recognize that it is only by God's graces, by his mercies, that we are not consumed. We deserve to be destroyed for the sin that we have committed from the very beginning of our lives. And yet God's grace grants us the next breath that we will take. It is by God's grace that we can be gathered here today, and by God's grace that we have this revelation of himself to us. Only by God's grace. So he asks God for his grace, and he asks God for his blessing. To bless means to speak words that bring divine favor and good circumstances. And we often speak of how God has blessed us, how God has given things to us, and we talk about how we're supposed to bless God, that we're supposed to praise him and glorify him. So in this situation, just pause and think for a moment about the fact that we are asking for God to speak divine words that would bring good circumstances into our lives. Basically, we're asking God to act on our behalf. And God, in his grace, wants to do that. God, in his grace, has done that, and God, in his grace, continues to do that. And so the psalmist asks for God to bless him and to bless God's people. The emphasis there, I think, ought to be on God's words. That God would speak a divine word, that he would say the things it takes to bless us. And we may say, well, you know, it's just words, right? Well, stop and think about that when you talk about the words that God speaks. Because God said, let there be light, and there was light. And you know, all through Genesis 1, God speaks. Doesn't ever say that God does things until he fashions man out of the dust of the earth. Until that point, all God does is speak. And there it is. So if you're wondering, can the words of God accomplish anything? Yes. Yes, they can. And so then the psalmist also asks God to make your face to shine upon us. Make your face shine upon us. In the ancient Eastern world, the face of the ruler was very important. In fact, most commoners, as they came into the presence of their king or emperor or whatever his particular title was, they would come in, their head bowed, they would get before him, they would get down on their hands and knees, or maybe even laying flat out on their face on the ground. And you did not dare look at the face of the ruler until you were granted permission to do so. And many that would come in before them would never see the face of their ruler. But his advisors and his soldiers and those who were there to guard him, they might be standing there. They would watch the face of the ruler. And depending on the face that the ruler made, you may not make it out of there alive. So if he looked upon you with favor and with acceptance, then you were good. But if he looked on you with displeasure, he may not even speak a word. And they would just know, hey, we're going to take you out and dispose of you. So he's asking God to make his face to shine upon us, that God would look with favor on his people. We all probably know what it's like to see somebody we haven't seen for a long time, and we get to see their face and the joy and delight of seeing each other again. And so the psalmist longs for God's face to shine upon them, and he asks God, would you please cause your face to shine on us? And as part of the priestly blessing, this was a reminder to his people that God had indeed chosen to accept and to bless his people. And a reminder that God is the one who chose the nation Israel. God is the one who brought them and called them by his name and said, I will be their God and they shall be my people. It wasn't because they had figured this out and come to him on their own. God is the one who had claimed them. And so this would remind them that God is their ruler and God had chosen to look on them with favor and with acceptance. So we see this prayer for blessing, and then there's a pause. The word Selah there, I believe, means to pause and kind of reflect on those things. So I believe that in the song, as they would have sung it then, they would have had a break, a little pause to reflect on this prayer for God's blessing. And then it moves into the next section, which talks to us about the purpose of God's blessing. The purpose of God's blessing. And while we often ask God to do things for us, do we ever stop and think about, what am I supposed to do now with this thing that God has done for me? There's a purpose in God's blessing. There's a reason that he does this. And the psalmist uses this part of the psalm to instruct us in those things. So first of all, the purpose of blessing is to make God known. God blesses us because that will help others to see who God is. And there's two ways in particular that the psalmist focuses here as to how God's blessing makes him known, and what elements of God's blessing, you might say, makes him known. And the first one is to speak of God's justice. He says that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. So he speaks of God's justice. You judge the people with equity. God is fair and right in his ruling, and that is a blessing for us. It's easy for us to celebrate when people that we think are bad get bad things, isn't it? You know, when somebody who's done something wrong, we're like, yeah, they got what's coming to them. This is a great day. Have you ever thought about what you deserve? Now, maybe you haven't done the super bad stuff. Hoping you don't have any, you know, dead bodies in your trunk or anything this morning, but the reality is that every one of us has broken God's law. And every one of us deserves God's wrath. And yet the psalmist says that he judges with equity. Fair in my situation. What is fair, what would be true justice for Rob Fowler would be eternal condemnation. Because I'm a sinner through and through. That's fair. That is true justice in my life, and truth be told, it's true justice in the life of every human being that's here and that has ever lived, save Jesus Christ. So how does God practice fair justice when he's not going to condemn me? He practiced it all right. He practiced it on his own son. He poured his wrath, his divine judgment, he poured out on his own son in my place. So God, in order to bless his people, but yet satisfy the righteous demands of his character and to be fair in his justice, says, I will bring condemnation on somebody. I will pour out wrath on somebody. Somebody has to bear this penalty, and it will be my own son. He will take it for the people. And so we can celebrate because God's justice will be satisfied. God's justice has been satisfied at what happened on the cross. And so we can come and we can say, God is fair in his judgment. And he judges the people with equity. For those who throw themselves on the mercy of God, there is grace. For those who reject Christ, that judgment will come, and it will come in the form of eternal, unending punishment in hell. It's a real place. It's a reality of our existence that those who reject Christ are already condemned, Jesus said in John chapter 3, because they have not believed in the name of the Son of God. It is real. And I would be remiss in my duties as speaking God's word if I didn't tell you that. Hell's a real place. And yet we don't have to go there. We don't have to experience that because Jesus took God's wrath. And for those who believe, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Paul told us in Romans 8. So we see God's blessing through his fair judgment. We also see God's blessing through his sovereignty. It also says that you guide the nations. And so God, as the ruler, as the supreme creator, he sovereignly runs the world. He is there, and this blesses us as well. Nothing happens that God is not constantly working toward his final plan. There is nothing that comes into your life that God doesn't know and that God won't use. Now, this does not assign responsibility for evil to God. Don't misunderstand. Don't think that I'm trying to say that God is the one who's making evil things happen. God says, I hate sin, and he is not responsible for it. And yet, it does not surprise him. It cannot thwart him. He will accomplish his divine purposes. He will fulfill his divine plan because he is sovereign over all. And we find great comfort and hope in that, that even as we look around and we see the world going mad, God is still on his throne. And his power is not diminished, and his plan is unfailing. So through God's sovereignty, he guides the nation, and this brings God praise. It makes God known, and the other reason for this is to bring God praise. God will be known through his justice, known through his sovereignty, and all the nations of the earth will be glad and sing for joy. That's how God's blessing works, that they will see what it is that God has done and that all the nations will be glad and sing for joy. Now, the reality is that not all the nations, not all the people, not everyone on earth does that yet. But they will. God wants for everyone to see his greatness. God wants for everybody to see his justice, to see his sovereignty, and to find joy and hope and comfort in that and to sing of it. Now, not everybody does that because many, the majority, Jesus said, will reject God's sovereignty and will despise his fair justice. that want to go their own way. But the purpose of God's blessing in my life and the purpose of God's blessing in your life is to magnify his fair justice, to demonstrate his sovereignty so that the world will see who he is and will bring him praise. That's why you are blessed. That's why you will take your next breath. That is why you have whatever it is that you have. That is why you experience whatever good things come into your life. You are blessed because God will be glorified. And we need to then take stock of our lives and say, well, am I making sure that I am calling others to praise God because of the blessing in my life? When we speak of God's blessing in our lives, it ought not to be about, oh, look at this really cool thing that I have or this great thing that I've been able to do. It really should be, this is what God has done for me and this is what God has done through me. And all the glory goes to God because that is the purpose of blessing in our lives. So after the purpose for blessing, then we'll see a proclamation of blessing. And in this, there is a universal appeal that the psalmist makes. He calls on all. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Let all the peoples praise you, God. The psalmist calls for a response from the whole world. Everyone is supposed to acknowledge God. Everyone is to give thanks to God. Everyone is to confess God. The word praise can mean all those different things. And the reality is that everyone will praise him sometime. At some point, it's going to happen. Philippians 2, Paul writes that that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It will happen. The day will come when all will praise God. And the invitation is that we can come to him now and begin praising him now. We can find grace through Jesus Christ if we will respond to God's offer of salvation in this life. And then we can escape his coming judgment. But if we reject that offer, please don't be mistaken, you will someday still bow your knee. And you will someday still acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it will still glorify God, but you will still face condemnation. It's imperative that we respond to that invitation for salvation today, in this life. So a universal appeal, let the peoples praise you. There's a universal example. In case you're wondering, well, you know, has God really blessed me? The psalmist gives just one example of that here. He says, the earth has yielded its increase. Yes, God has blessed us. The fact that this planet grows food. You know, we live in North Central Ohio, and if you just drive down the road a little ways, you will see the earth bringing forth food. We're surrounded by farms. And on any of the days when you think, I just can't see how God is at work, just remember the fact that we live on a planet that God has designed to feed us is a universal example of God's blessing. And the reality is, and I know that there is poverty and I know that there is hunger throughout the world, but understand that that's not God's fault. The earth is plenty capable of producing enough food to feed everyone. To feed a lot more everyone's if we had a higher population. The earth is more than sufficient to be able to do that. If you spend much time in farming, you realize you can grow a lot of food. And so God has blessed everyone from the very beginning of the world. You know, by day 4, the earth is starting to bring forth food. This is why it is customary for many of us to say grace or to give thanks at the beginning of every meal. And I would encourage you to have some things in your life like that. Just say, you know, I'm going to do this, and it may be that that's not your custom, but I'd encourage you to consider that, not because, you know, if you don't ask God's blessing on the food, you know, he's going to make you choke or anything like that. Really, it's because it's a way of disciplining ourselves to remember that even this right here, this food that I'm about to eat, is a very simple daily sign of God's blessing to me. To remember that God has blessed us in the very little things, in the basic things. God has blessed us, and when we drive by a field of corn or a roadside market, when you go to the grocery store, remember, God has blessed us simply by the earth yielding its fruit. We are all blessed. And then there's a universal response. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Ought to be the response of everybody. There's the call for everyone to praise. There's this response, let all the ends of the earth fear him. Since God has provided for all in this way, everyone ought to respond to him. And fear is the word that the psalmist uses here. And again, this is a statement that we would all recognize who God is, that we would recognize his righteousness and his justice as well as his mercy and grace, and that we would respond accordingly. And so let all the ends of the earth fear him. Well, that's the psalm. What do we do with God's blessing then? How ought we to respond? What should our next steps be? And I would say, first of all, embrace God's salvation. If you are here today and still rejecting God's gracious provision of Jesus Christ on the cross, that he would be the target of God's wrath instead of us, if you have not placed your trust in Jesus Christ alone to save you from your sin and to save you from God's wrath, do so today. It's very simple to do. It's just a matter of understanding that, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I have broken God's law. I have violated his command, and there's nothing that I can do to fix that. There's no amount of good I can do, no amount of money I can give, no amount of anything, words that I can say, nothing that I can do or say or give to God can pay for my offense. Nothing is good enough. Because God requires a perfect sacrifice. God requires a perfect offering, and since I have sinned, I can never be perfect. We have to recognize that, and then says simply to call on the name of the Lord. To call out to him and say, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. I have failed. I have wronged you. I have broken your law. I need your grace. That's our only hope. Call out to him today. If you have questions about that, you're not sure how all that works, come and see me afterward, and we will talk it through. Because this is the most important way that you can respond to God's blessing today, is to embrace his salvation. Understand that his judgment is fair. It is only right that he would pour out his wrath on those who have broken his law. And it may seem like bad people keep winning, and that doesn't seem right, but remember that God has an eternal perspective. And we don't see the end here, but God does see the end. Everyone will receive what they deserve. But God's sovereignty is gracious. So in embracing his salvation, we need to remember that. You know, many people would resist the idea that a good, all-powerful God can exist with so much evil in the world. But what we don't understand is that God will not always allow this to continue. And we need to recognize that, as we mentioned before, it's only by his mercies we are not consumed today, but don't confuse God's patient grace with weakness or indifference. Judgment is coming. His wrath will come, And if you want to know what that looks like, read the book of Revelation. It will leave you speechless at what God's wrath will accomplish on this earth. So maybe that's your next step, to embrace God's salvation, to accept that into your life, and to throw yourself on the mercy of God. Maybe your next step is then to go and proclaim God's blessing. And you would do this, first of all, appreciate the basics. Don't forget the little things that God does. You may be looking around like, okay, so where is it that God has blessed me? Look at all the little things in your life. Thank God for those things. Recognize his grace in your daily provision of life, the little moments of every day. The fact that we are not yet consumed is because of his grace. The fact that we have food to eat, and I think most of you probably drove cars here today, and we have so much. Spend your words telling others. That's how we can proclaim God's blessing. Spend your words by telling others about the blessing of God. We speak an average of 15,000 words a day. Some of you more, some of you less. That's the ones that we actually say with our mouths. Then there's social media, there's email and texting and all the other forms of communication that we use. What is the content of what we say? What do we talk about? What do we proclaim? Do we draw attention to God? Are we drawing attention to ourselves and our accomplishments and our frustrations and our great ideas? So use our words to tell others. We're going to close a little differently today. I invite you to take that welcome card and on the back of that to maybe record your response to God's word today. If you're thinking, I don't really have much put on there, I'd encourage you, write down one or two of the things that you would like to praise God for today. How has God blessed you? I would love to read those things. I would love to hear of what God is doing and how God is blessing you. And even if it's the very simple thing of, you know, God has blessed me by giving me another meal to eat. Okay. But let's spend some time blessing God and praising God for that and remembering his blessings. And as we do that, I'm going to have us listen to a song. I'm not asking you to sing it because most of you don't know it, and that's okay. But listen to this. When it's done, we'll just be done. So I'm going to pray now, then we'll listen to the song. When it's done, we'll be dismissed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessing. You are a just God. You are sovereign. We come before you wholly dependent on you. I pray that you would help us to see you in all of the little things as well as the big things. Pray that anyone who is here today who has not yet trusted you, that today they would turn from their sin and throw themselves on your mercy and find life in Jesus Christ. Pray that you would help each of us to see what it is that you are doing in our lives and then to proclaim it, that others would see your salvation, that they would praise you for your grace and magnify your justice and celebrate your sovereignty, and that your name would be great through all of the world. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Bless you and keep you. give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, and give you peace, and give you give you peace, and give you peace.